And welcome to the program, and happy Sunday, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And this is where we deal in fact, not fiction, bring to you the week in summation, and try to kind of see where the week is going to go. And I, you know, there's, if you missed this, I've got to tell you about it. So apparently, there were a group of interns at an unnamed company. Yeah, summer interns. So these are either paid or unpaid positions. And what are they? What's the point of an internship? And we don't do too many of them. We have summer jobs, but we don't call them internships. We call them, in law, you call them clerkships. But at any rate, but you bring these young people in to your business. So they can get a taste for what it's like to work there. And typically, I'll tell you this, typically interns don't bring a lot of value, okay? When you're a business manager and you want your business running smoothly, you don't want to bring people in who you know are going to be leaving in 3 months. You just don't want that. You want people that you can invest in, you can build up, and that they stay long term. That is successful people management. So interns in most companies are really, it's charity, okay? I mean, when you're a business owner, you bring in interns, you bring them in to help and mentor young people and to possibly pick out from them people who might be graduating in a year or two who may make great employees. It's kind of like a working interview. So imagine the surprise, okay? There's this company, they hire a bunch of interns, and the interns don't like the dress code. And yes, we are here on the program issuing a millennial alert. This is not a test. If you can hear the sirens go off, this is what's going on. Millennial alert. Because these young interns who started at this company did not like the dress code. They described the dress code as being very strict. And let me tell you about what strict means. It required professional attire, jackets, suits, dress shoes, no fabric shoes. Okay, which means, you know, leather or patent leather type material. No sandals, no flip-flops, okay? I don't see if gentlemen needed to wear ties, but at any rate, it was a strict dress code. And that is a dress code. By the way, my office has that dress code, maybe even stricter. And we do it for a reason. And you know what? That reason really shouldn't matter to you if you're an intern, okay? I'm just going to put it like that. Look, you are a guest in my house for the summer. So what you do is you show me that you know how to follow the rules. What you don't do is band together with your fellow interns and create a petition and deliver that petition to management saying, we really feel like you should relax the rules for us. That you don't do. Well, these interns that submitted the petition were surprised to find out that upon receiving the petition, management decided to swiftly terminate. What I mean is, they were fired. They got fired. And of course, that's what should happen. Who does this? Can you imagine going over to somebody's house, visiting, and especially, it doesn't matter, even as an adult, but as a young person, you're visiting a relative's home. And you go over and you say, what is this? You want me to take my shoes off downstairs? I want to walk with my shoes all the way to my bed. I'm going to walk with shoes in the house. So I'm sorry. I think you're going to have to be okay with that because that's what I want to do. Would you ever do that? Really? Well, these guys might, but I mean, I think that's a parallel to this. No, look, dress code is something that kids fundamentally don't understand. My mom told me a great story. My mom worked at Allergan for a number of years, the pharmaceutical company. Big company, big Fortune 500 company. And they had a dress code, and it was pretty strict. In fact, I remember an anecdote from my childhood. I must have been about 6 or 7. The then CEO of the company, Gavin Herbert, saw a guy walking into the building. Now, this was not an intern. This was a grown man walking into the building, and he wasn't dressed appropriately. And Gavin Herbert pulled off the guy's ID tag. You know, it was one of those clips, and he made a little snapping sound. It was like, click, pulls it off, holding his company ID card in front of him, and says, if you want to keep this, don't ever come dressed like this again, and walked away. So the real world demands things. They demand performance. Okay, we workplaces demand performance. They demand what? They demand maybe things that you don't like coming to work at 8. Maybe you like to show up at work at 11. I don't blame you, but guess what? If your job says you have to show up at 8, that's what you do. So my mom has a great story. The story was that this kid comes in, and it wasn't for an internship. He comes in for an interview, and believe he was a Santa Barbara student, a UCSB student. And this must have been late 80s, early 90s. He comes in, and my mom sees that he's very qualified on his resume. And her sixth sense was, I need to bring this kid in and talk to him before the interview, before the official interview with HR and everybody in the room. So she brings the kid in, and he's in jeans and a t-shirt. And my mom says to him, she says, what the hell are you wearing? Okay, like, what are you thinking? And the kid didn't kind of get it. So my mom ends up calling his mom. It's a true story. My mom calls his mom and says, hey, Mrs. So-and-so, I just saw your son. He's brilliant. He knows his chemistry. He knows his science. But guess what? Go buy him a freaking suit. Because if he shows up dressed in anything less, he's not getting the job, and I want him here. And if you like happy endings, it turns out the kid immediately, the mom thanked my mom profusely, goes out, buys her kid a professional outfit, hopefully smacks him a few times upside the head, tell him what you're thinking. The kid gets the job. The kid ends up having a successful career. And my mom remained in touch. I asked her, you know, how did it turn out? She's like, no, we kept in touch for years. And, you know, and he was really grateful. But here is the thing. The reason this kid succeeded, what is it? He listened. And better yet, back then, at least in the 80s, he didn't have the kind of contradictive information, propaganda, coming from the school that he was at. Now, why did I think a bit about this all? Because when one of the news stories talking about these summer interns that get fired, okay, these interns that go in and don't like the dress code at the company, they're there for the summer, and they file a petition with the HR people saying, hey, we don't like this dress code. Could we maybe wear flip-flops? No, they don't want that. They want, like, whatever. They want to lower the standards of the dress code. Surprise, surprise, they get fired. And here is a direct quote from one of the canned interns. And I just about fell out of my chair when I read this. We were shocked. The proposal was written professionally, like examples I have learned about in school. Yes. That's the kind of BS your money is going. If you've got a kid in school, if you've got and your hard-earned paycheck is going whoosh, evaporating into thin air, paying that ridiculous tuition, I've got news for you. This is the kind of nonsense little junior is learning. Because guess what? Who are these professors who are teaching them this nonsense? Are these professors people that have ever held real jobs? No, right? No, These are professors who lived their whole lives with petitions, filing grievances, playing victim. In fact, that's how you progress when you're a college professor, a college administrator. You have to always have some grievance, some axe to grind, some issue to fight, something to talk about, some controversy. And in the real world, in business, guess what we care about? Getting the job done. No, it's not about, it's the person who gets the job done quietly, efficiently, and without causing problems. And I'm telling you, this is hilarious. And I'm such a proponent of this. I'll tell you more about this. I had an interaction recently at work that reminded me of this, and I'll talk about it in a minute. You really have to understand your place in a company. And young people they're so obsessed with their selfies, with their social media, with the me, me, me. How many likes am I going to get? How much attention? I'm so special. I'm God's greatest gift to the universe. This is a me generation. We talk about this all the time on the show. And if you're new and you're listening to this, let me tell you, this is a real problem, and you know it's a real problem because you might have a kid, you might have a grandson, you might have a nephew, whatever, or you know somebody at the office, and this is exactly what you're experiencing the symptoms of exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, so let me give you a real example of this. Let me give you a real example of this when we come back here in a second. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Attorney James Bergener. I get the best news and information for the week from Sam Nation every weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Look, if you think I'm taking this too far on these fired interns, and if you think that I'm throwing the school and the professors under the bus, let me tell you, I'm spot on. Because I just got into my little fingers here, big hands. Big hands. No, I just got into my hands here. This is great. So apparently the student that organized the petition these are interns working at a summer job and they don't like the dress code. They file a petition and they get canned. They want to change the dress code because they don't like it. So apparently, she is, what kind of a major do you think she is? Well, it's not business, it's not economics, it's not math. It's a social justice activism major. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff, you see more and more people, by the way, with these nonsense degrees. And they sound like these big words that are put together, strung together, and they make it sound really important, but they're just nonsense degrees. And the thing is this gal literally, and the article talks about it, she was taught in school, she learned, if you don't like your company's policies, create a petition or organize against management. That's what she was taught in school. I'm not making this up. It's real. And this is where, we always say that this program is a place, is a home, a shelter for recovering millennials. And if you are a young person and you are in school, okay, please listen to me. Right now I have 64, 65 employees. I have hired and fired hundreds of people. I know what I'm talking about. See, people that sit in my chair, sit in the boss seat, sit in the HR seat, what do they want? I'll tell you, what do we want in a candidate? We want someone that is smart, that will do the job, and will do it in a way that we don't have to come in and replace you in 6 months. Believe it or not, as much As good as I am at firing people, I prefer not to. It's not good for business. Look, I understand. If you're a Bernie voter and you think I'm just a greedy guy and everything, I get it. But trust me, part of that greed, and I'm just going to give you the cold hard facts, part of that greed, whatever you want to call it, I'll call it business acumen, I'll call it smarts, but you can call it greed, is that I want to, I don't want to keep hiring and training and investing into people over and over and over again. I would rather, and here's the dirty secret, I'd rather hire you, have it work out, and continue to pay you more money because you are more valuable to me, fully trained, than a lower-waged person every 6 months rotating through a position. That's right. I would rather have you in that job long-term and pay you the highest salary for that position than have that position filled by a newbie who is costing me half the money, but he's giving me 10 times the trouble and half, if not less, the revenue. And that's the reality of any job. Any job. Experience brings higher pay. You've got to get to that point. You've got to get to the experience part. And the trouble, I think, with the me generation that I was talking about in the last segment is that they want it all now. So this interaction that I have with someone goes like this. Well, I want this job. I want it now. This person has been on the job for about a year and wants a big promotion. And so I'm talking to them about it and I say, look, you might not be ready, but let's keep talking. And a little bit of time goes by. And all of a sudden, I get this person coming to me with a grievance. Now, I want to differentiate between legitimate grievances, such as sexual harassment, okay? Such as, you know, if a manager is abusing discretion, okay? Maybe there's theft going on. Maybe they're is an unsafe work environment. Like, let's say I own a factory. And I don't. I'm a lawyer. We do office work. But, you know, if there's an unsafe condition somewhere, those are legitimate grievances. And I'm not taking away from those. But this person brings to me a grievance that I don't think was legitimate at all. In fact, it was a very me kind of thing. Like, my feelings are hurt and it was an absurd deal. And this is what I told them. I told this person, I said, listen, you came to me seeking advancement. That advancement, in my opinion, you might not be ready for. I was willing to take a chance on you advancing. But let me tell you, imagine this. I have other options for people to put into this higher position. Not just you. I've got other people for it. And if I am looking at one person who is more qualified, but is sensitive, whiny, brings grievances, complains about things, is an issue. And I got another person who's less qualified, but is just solid, comes to work, does their job, and doesn't complain. Guess who I'm going to put in that position? Well, that's right. Person number two. But why? It's what I was saying earlier. I don't want to put you in that job and train you and invest in you and have your emotional self, your all the stuff that shouldn't matter to you doing the job get in the way and ultimately lead you to not succeed. I'd rather take the person who's less qualified but stable because I can't fix if you're whiny and annoying and you bring grievances, I can't fix that. You've come to me at 22, 23, 24, 25. I can't fix your upbringing. I can't fix the fact that every professor that you had in college lied to you and told you were the most important thing and that you ought to bring grievances. I can try, but I don't want to because I've tried over and over again. And I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I talk to a lot of business owners. So if you've got a kid and your kid is 16, your kid is 17, or they're in college, you've got the best thing you can do for your kid. Well, make them listen to the program, right? That the best thing. But you've got to sit them down and you've got to have a come to Jesus with them. Because they've got to understand that their boss isn't in to sink them. Their boss isn't in to ruin them. Their boss wants their company or their group, their division, their team to run smoothly. And when they're in there, and in the first few years, certainly as an intern, you don't go in and start petitioning and complaining. And you know, the most telling thing, and we've talked about this when we discussed the minimum wage, and if you follow the program, you know how much I rail against any kind of a regulated minimum wage. And I'm not going to get into it fully, but the reason, you download the podcast, they're all there. You can hear my opinions on the minimum wage. The reason I always give that I think is almost the most critical thing is that it raises the barrier of entry into the workplace. It makes labor very expensive for employers who want to bring in high school kids. I think that the best thing to do in school is to work as soon as you can, as soon as possible. I did it. Every successful person I know, they worked in high school. They had a job. And maybe it wasn't, you know, maybe it was waiting on tables. Maybe it was a paper route. Maybe it was something, you know, but they had a job. And I don't want the government making that kid at 16 too expensive for the store, the business, whatever, to hire. Because this is it. Going back to the article, that this news story about these kids that get fired after they hire, they put up grievance, you know, these interns that, so they get fired, and the kid is talking on the record. She's saying I was laughing about it. That the proposal I wrote was professionally written. It's just, I did it just the way I learned in school. So, but then she goes on to say, and this is the most important, this is what we keep talking about on the program. This is a direct quote. I have never had a job before. I've always focused on school, and I was hoping to gain some experience before I graduate next year. Devastating. This is it. She's graduating school. So what does that put her at? At best, 21? Yeah, 22? Somewhere in there? 21 years old and has never had a job. Missy, wrap your head around that. I had friends like this. Let me tell you this. I had friends whose parents equated grades to work performance. In other words, you do the work at school, son, and I'm going to pay for your college. I'm going to give you an allowance. Your job is school. BS. I'm going to tell you, my kids are going to all be working their money's off. Okay? That's what they're going to be doing. Nothing. You don't get anything given to you in life. And creating at a young age this entitlement that you're owed something, that you somehow have standing to petition your employer, that you deserve a promotion that you're not mentally ready for, all stems from the fact that you, more than likely, you didn't work as a youth. Early jobs, all about that. I got to tell you about Canada. Right when we come back, I'll tell you all about my Trump socks in Canada. Yes, I did. Hashtag, yes, it happened. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James. I listen to Sam Nation.
Oh, Canada. last week, spent a few days up in the province of Alberta, visiting family. But I'll tell you, I had to, I couldn't resist. Those of you who have followed my travels. Know that I provocatively enjoy wearing my Trump socks in hostile countries. It's kind of like Hillary Clinton and her email address on her homebrew server, exposing her to hack attacks. I like to travel with my Trump socks. And so far, I haven't been hacked at or attacked in any way. But I will tell you, I was in a small town in Alberta walking around with my Trump socks. And then I drove the same day I went to the Alberta Mall, the Edmonton Mall, which, by the way, if you haven't been, it's fascinating. It's the largest mall, I think, in North America. It's got a pirate ship. It's got a full hockey rink. It's got a Boomers with a bit of Six Flags mixed into it. These giant rides, all indoors, right? Because it's 30 below centigrade in the wintertime, and that goes for 6 months. Can you even wrap your head around what that must be like? So I thought I was going to be a provocateur with these socks. And instead, what I came across was just a sea of people that were also terrible looking in every respect. I mean, there was some lady who looked like she had tattoos that were hand doodled. No, that she did herself on her back, you know, with looking in the mirror. I only knew that it was Eeyore from the tattoo based on the fact that, no, I mean, I have kids and I know what Eeyore looks like, but it would have been a stab in the dark. In low light conditions, I never would have been able to figure out what this woman had. It looked like a bruise. So I did get a lot of stares, especially when I would cross my feet, kind of like what happened when I was in Mexico City with my Trump socks. I got stares, and then I got some snickers. And, of course, my 16-year-old cousin, who is an avowed Bernie Sanders fan, couldn't believe her eyes that I would wear such trash. It is interesting. I love when Canadians, and this happens all the time, by the way, talk to people in Canada, they go, Bernie Sanders, oh my gosh. And I look at them, I go, is this sabotage? I think when another country wishes that Bernie Sanders were our president, I think that's sabotage. I mean, if I ever wanted to ruin China, I would send Bernie over there. He would start a second cultural revolution. There's no doubt. Bernie would bankrupt China in a hot minute. Canada is a strange place. They do speak English there, although it's in some places a little bit different than ours. But it's a country, I'm telling you, this is my observation of Canada, it is a country desperately trying not to be America. And that I think is really interesting. Because if you think, okay, so I know that on this program, we talk about political correctness all the time. And I know we rail against it because we don't like it, because we celebrate the First Amendment on this show, don't we? We believe in the freedom of speech. If you think that Bernie's the most awesomest dude in the world and you think that he needs to be president, God bless you. I support your right to say it. So what we don't like here, and we don't, yeah, I think you agree, we don't like this whole hate speech stuff. We've talked about it. What is hate speech? Well, that's right. You define it. You tell me what hate speech is. Are they words that make somebody feel bad? Is that what hate speech is? What hate speech is it's very difficult to define, which means you don't really know if you're committing hate speech until after you get charged with committing it. Now, in the U.S., you can stand on a street corner and you can say terrible things. And as long as it's not inciting a riot or causing a panic or leading to an immediate harm, if you're in a public place, you can say it. And the definition of a public place isn't just limited entirely to public state-owned property, by the way. So we have a very, thankfully, we have a very liberal definition of free speech. Not in Canada. They have hate speech laws. You know the kind that they have at schools? You know these schools that are teaching our millennials all this nonsense about what to do when you, like we talked last segment, get the podcast. It was awesome. All the stuff that these schools, safe spaces and everything, Canada is one giant safe space. I think, what can I tell you? I'll tell you this funny. As I'm driving through Canada, and yes, everywhere, it's these long, straight roads through the middle of nowhere. Farms, farms, land, land, lake, lake. I mean, it's just vast. And I'm looking everywhere. They have these fields of yellow flowers. They look like mustard seed flowers like we have, you know, here in the hills. Like if you hike the Hollywood Hills, you see these yellow flowers. That's the kind of flowers. But they're different. And I ask, you know, I ask people, I go, what is this? Everybody seems to be growing it. Back in California, it's a weed. What is this? And they say, that's the new cash crop. It's canola seed. And I said, canola, what the heck? Oh, well, it used to be, and then they get really hushed. It used to be called rapeseed. What? What? I looked it up. Sure enough. Canada started growing the rapeseed. They make an oil out of it. It's a cooking oil. And it's got, I think, a high burn temperature. So it's good for certain applications. If you're a cook, you know what I'm talking about. But they didn't in Canada. This is not a North America thing. This is a Canada thing. They didn't like the fact that it was called rapeseed because, you know, they didn't like the word. So in the 70s, they decided to just change the word entirely to canola. And canola, where does it go? Can is from Canada. So they named it after themselves. And ola is oil, I guess. But that was back in the 70s. And you say, but Sam, I get it. You know, I mean, you know, I get, that's, you know, I did rapeseed. Who wants to, that's not marketable. It was probably a sound business decision. Well, things in Canada have only gotten worse. You know, if you said something about race, you could go to jail. It's true. If you make a racist statement, you can be fined and possibly even jailed. And I've talked to Canadians and they're proud of this. It's all about the socks. Raise some interesting discussions. Probably why I wear them. I like to get people to tell me things and get mad at me because then good conversations come forth from it. And I said, you know what's bad about America? You guys don't have good hate speech laws. A guy like Trump can get up there and spew his hateful rhetoric with impunity. And I'm listening to it and I'm going, yeah, I think that's great. I think it's good. I think the reason why is Trump winning elections? Because he's saying things that is true, that is resonating with people, that people are agreeing with him on. I say to you, Canada, let an opinion, if it's wrong, let it lose in the marketplace of ideas. If I stand on a street corner and say black people are stupid, I will be discredited because it's a stupid statement. Nobody believes that. It's racist. Guess who in the end loses in the marketplace of ideas? The person who says that ridiculous thing. Why fine them? Why turn it over to a judge, some administrator, some bureaucrat to decide what is or is not hate speech? Let the ideas fail in the marketplace. But alternatively, think about this. When a democracy has gotten to a point where certain preconceived notions have gone too far, and the parable, right, the story of stories is the emperor's new clothes. You all heard it? You know what I'm talking about. It's the little boy that says, oh, but wait a minute, he's not wearing anything. Oh, my goodness. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, hey, wait a minute, he's not. And that is the most powerful thing a democracy has going for it. Somewhere, there will always be a person who stands up and says something that is shocking, but it begins to win in the marketplace of ideas because it rings true. And we cannot let ourselves as a country move away from this principle. Because when we do, we risk forfeiting our democracy. Our democracy requires that our leaders be challenged, that some of these ridiculous things that are happening at our schools be challenged, that we get back to, you know, we get back to toughening up, it has to happen. But I'll tell you, when we come back, I'm going to tell you who's exempt from hate speech laws, because guess what? In Canada and on college campuses, they don't apply to everybody, do they? Like, for example, white people. They don't apply to them. Well, I'll explain what I mean right after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790, KABC.
This is James Bergener. Finally, there's a weekend radio show that doesn't suck. Listen to Sam Nation with me every Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, these hate speech laws. Hate speech. They have it in Canada. They have it in France. They have it lots of countries. Not here. We got the First Amendment, at least for now. So I was, but look, these laws are never enforced equally. They're only there to serve the agenda of the masters making the decisions of the powers that be. And the powers that be, in Canada at least, are left-wing loonies that think that everything is about protecting minorities, protecting the people that have been wronged. These hate speech laws are just to protect minorities. But of course, that's patently absurd. Now, what do I mean? Apparently, some indigenous woman, meaning Native Indian type person in Canada, runs up to a white woman in Calgary, which is, again, in Alberta, province of Alberta, and yells, "I hate white people," and punches her. Okay, so we have an assault and a battery. At least we would here. And based on Canadian law, you know, when a physical battery of, you know, an assault like this occurs, and the animus behind it is declared to be based on racial grounds, that's hate speech. But hold on, wait a minute. Not so. Says a judge in Canada. Because this judge, Harry Van Harten, decision came down and decided that the prosecutor was wrong. That it was an unprovoked assault, yes, but it had nothing to do with race. It did not implicate Canadian hate speech laws. What? I mean, is this for real? Can you imagine, let's say you were walking on the street of Calgary, you saw a black woman, if you're a white man, saw a black woman, or a white woman saw a black woman, and run up to her and punch her and say, I hate black people. And that'd be a hate crime. I mean, even in America, it would be a hate crime because the animus for the attack is based on, the reason for the attack is based on racial animus. I think some of our hate crime laws have been taken too far, but that's a separate topic. There it is. So this is obsessive with political correctness, and that I have no explanation for. But that's Canada for you. I don't know what would have happened. You know, Robbie, what if I had been walking in Calgary and had my Trump socks on, and somebody came up to me and said, "I hate people who wear Trump socks," and punched me in the head. I know what I'd do. I'd call Sweet James. That'd be my call. I wouldn't wait to deal with this clown. I would not wait to deal with his insurance company because probably he doesn't have stupid people insurance. I wouldn't want to even go there. I would just call James Bergner, my attorney, because he's the guy that's going to sort this out for me. I'm hurt. I'm there. I'm bleeding. I got blood on my new Trump socks. I'm devastated. I've got a head injury. I'm going to get myself to a doctor. I'm going to get myself checked out. But one of the first things I'm going to do is call my lawyer. Because I don't want this crazy person getting away with it. And more importantly, I don't know if something's wrong with me. I mean, what if I've got a serious injury? What if it turns out that person's hit me so hard I've become a Bernie supporter? I mean, really? Think of the damages there. So if you or a loved one have been in any kind of an accident, gotten assaulted, had maybe a product has been defective and hurt you in any way, please call my friend, sweet James Bergner. He's your lawyer. He'll take care of you. And here's the number you need to know. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right. You know, we were talking earlier about those interns. And I they weren't Canadian. I'll tell you that. I forgot to add one very important thing. Which is, and this is another tip, by the way. This is another pro tip from Sam Nation, from me to you. If you're a millennial and you're going to be filing a petition, which I don't suggest you do at the workplace, and this is, look, if you didn't hear about it, get the podcast, but we're talking about this petition that was filed where these bunch of millennials are working at a job as interns and they want to change the dress code. They think it's too formal. They file a petition, and in the petition, they mention some gal who's working in the company. And apparently, they mention that she's wearing shoes that don't conform to the dress code. And they say something to the effect of, well, so-and-so. So-and-so is professionally dressed. She's doing her job well. She's been there a number of years, citing all of her professional accolades. And then they go on to say, clearly not conforming to the dress code has not hindered her in such and such progress. Well, my advice is research your facts before you write them. I know they don't teach that at school, but I think before you speak. Because as it turns out, the lady that was cited in their grievance was a veteran who had lost her leg and was given a confidential variance to the dress code for a very obvious reason, one that she wears a prosthetic limb. The student who authored the petition was quoted as saying something to the effect of, "Had I known, I would not have put that in my petition." I will credit this young millennial for at least coming to terms with that part of her stupidity. Can you believe that? They decide to cite the one person who's not only handicapped, right, but is a veteran who incurred the handicap fighting for this country. Oops. Not good. So I will tell you, I give you a little bit of fun insight into traveling. I'm coming back from Canada through the great experience, I'm so happy to be back in the U.S. And we land, Sam Nation One lands in Kalispell, Montana, where I've never been before. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And as we land, welcoming us back to the country, high above in the sky, soaring, is a bald eagle. The first bald eagle that I have ever seen outside of captivity, out in nature. And, you know, I got to tell you, it was just plain cool. I have nothing else to say about it. That's it. It was the most beautiful sight. I can see why it's a symbol of our nation. And I mean, there it was, just circling the airport. And it's enormous. Even though it's far up in the sky, it was just absolutely beautiful. You know, it's really one of the best things you can do, I think. And this is another bit of advice, and I give this to young people. In addition to everything I said earlier, the most important thing you can do is get a job. The second most important thing you can do is to travel, and to travel internationally. See other countries. Experience other places. There's a few reasons for this. One of them, and I had a law professor of mine tell the class this. I'll never forget. It was such good advice. I've repeated it many times, but it's such good advice because he says, look, when you're young, you have nothing to offer the world. That's a good place to start. It's true. When you're young and you're talking and who's going to be the person hiring you at a job? Somebody older, somebody with more experience. And one of the things you've got to do is to connect with that person. I tell my son all the time, you compete, you work as a child in an adult's world. And in the adult's world, it's the adults that you have to connect with and please. And so the number one mistake millennials make, right? It's all about me. It's I, I'm the most important. Look at my selfies. Look at me here. Da, 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 da. You've got to stop talking about yourself and you've got to talk to the other person. But in order to do that, you've got to find things that are common ground. And there is nothing more unifying in a conversation than to be talking to somebody who is 30 years your senior and talk about some faraway place. And they say, oh, yeah, I've been there. And you say, oh, yeah, well, what about that little coffee shop, you know, in Berlin? And you go, oh, my gosh, I've been there. I've been to that place. And talking to them about that, if they've had 20 interviews that day, yours is going to stand out. Travel. Visit other places. And don't just go to the banal. I'm not talking about Cancun. Visit world capitals. Educate yourself and open your eyes. Ask, why is this different than in my country? Because when I looked at the Edmonton Mall in Canada, and I'm walking through it, and I'm looking at these stores, I'm seeing stores in there, right? This is the largest mall in North America, and I see a dollar-only store in a shopping mall. I think to myself, this is what America will look like if Trump loses the election. And that's it. We've got an opportunity here to save this country. We really do. I'm telling you. So let's, please. We've talked about so much. We had a great show yesterday. If you missed it, go to samnation.com. Get the podcast. Download the podcast. Put it on your iPhone, your Android, whatever device you use. And email me. I love getting your emails. I love hearing from you. I even respond to them from time to time. Yell at me. Sam@samnation.com. That's my homebrew server. That's right. Hasn't been hacked yet that I know of, but who knows? Maybe it has. See you here next week. Can't wait. Sam Rudjofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.